Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are, almost halfway through July.
Yep.
And you're back from a long, much-needed vacation, apparently out in the middle, from the middle of nowhere. Today's July, what is it today, 12th?
Yeah, 12th.
As
my traveling partners says, it was not a vacation, it was a trip. Because we were on no less than, I think we counted 10 different flights.
Oh, ye.
Aside from the flight from Miami to L.A., L.A., Hong Kong, Hong Kong to... what was next? Hong Kong. We went to Bangkok. No, was it Hong Kong, Bangkok? And then, no, Hong Kong. We went to Hong Kong. Hong Kong to some, Yangon, and then somewhere else. It's like a 4 flight to get there. And then, but Cathay Pacific was wonderful.
Cathay Pacific's the best.
Yeah. And flew back on Asiana Airlines. That was good too.
It's not bad.
Not bad.
It's not Cathay.
No. You know, on Cathay, I sat business, and they were serving. What I usually try to do is start off the trip with a very large portion of Johnny Walker or something. This, they had the gold, which I don't like the gold as much. I like either the black or the blue.
Oh, well, the gold's, I believe gold's a blend of mostly malts straight up without being blended back.
Yeah, I wasn't really pleased with it. So I kind of had to go. I said, can you go to the first class and get me some blue? So they got me two glasses, two doubles. That was
two
good.
Doubles of blue?
Yeah.
Of course, the mint.
Yeah, so that was nice. But yeah, no, it was an amazing, amazing trip of, we'll talk a little bit more about this, but let me just say, one of my meals, there were more flies than food.
In what town was this?
That wasn't
on Cathay, was it?
No. This is in Bagan. In Bagan, Myanmar. I got some interesting stories about this. Let's talk about the markets first, and then we'll talk about some of this. So a lot of people tweeted in and wrote me that they missed us. Where are we? They can't wait to hear all about things that are going on. So we're not going to focus only on Pokemon during this.
No, we're not even going to talk about it.
We'll got to talk a little bit about it because it's kind of
well,
funny.
Well, I guess I'm going to add Nintendo to my portfolio.
If we can get that. That's interesting if we won't be able to track that. But I guess they have a U.S. ADR or something. Anyway,
I hope so.
I was away. Stocks were getting crushed for a little while there, and then all of a sudden, wham!
For 2 days, yeah. Thanks to the Brexit.
Right.
And in fact, even in England, the stock market is way up after. It looked like they should Brexit again.
Yeah, I know. Brexit turned out to be like a wonderful thing. What happened was, it seems that every government around the world decided that, oh my God, we have to panic. And this Brexit thing is just going to collapse the entire world economies. So we need to tell everybody about all the stimulus and liquidity and all the things we're going to do. And then when it turned out that there's the uncertainty about the potential for Brexit actually occurring or maybe being watered down or not being as bad as it is happened, all this excitement then turned to, wait a minute, nothing bad's really happening, but look at all the extra stimulus, liquidity, and promises we have from central banks to, you know, do crazy things. So the U.S. 10-year treasury hit like 1.4%. It was just like 2%. And still at 1.5%. Rates went even further negative to a point so far negative in the Eurozone region that some of the bonds are out of the reach of the ECB to buy now because they're in such negative territory. I don't think they can buy bonds that are less than or more than a negative 0.4% yield.
Which brings me back to the point I keep making over and over again: is whatever happened to this bond collapse?
Yeah, no, it's
you'll know it when you see it.
Uncollapse.
You'll know it when you see it.
But it's amazing how bonds have been not only bought up, but it's crazy, and it makes our bonds here look like, wow, that's a deal. If over here I can get zero, over here I get negative two. A 0.2, and in the U.S. on a 10-year, I can get 1.5. Where am I going?
Going to the U.S., but
yeah.
Still.
Yeah, it's amazing. Commodities ramped for a little while there. Gold was kind of doing really well. Copper, silver turned around. We have all-time highs on the S&P 500, all-time highs today on the Dow Jones, which is the just all of it is a big head scratcher because nothing's changed.
I don't know, but I think we kind of half anticipated this.
We
and
said
I say half because I don't think you did as much as I did.
Well, you said that first of all, Brexit wouldn't happen.
It hasn't happened yet.
That is true. That's a good point. And that is the point itself right there. That it hasn't happened yet. There's still a way to back out of this. And governments are just being very kind to markets. So why not just buy into everything we can?
Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
Well, it was fun. Well, it lasted.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, you had a thing on Twitter today in your Twitter feed.
Yes.
Andrew Horowitz on your Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
If people should subscribe. You had this little gauge that said that the everything's overheated. It's like the engine's going to blow.
Yeah, this is an algorithm that I built that looks at market sentiment. It looks at a variety of different things that usually is very good at finding very oversold conditions. And when we see this is a scale from a -7 to a +7. And why 7? It's just how it calculates out. -7s I've never seen. I've seen -6s. When you see a -6 on a couple of times, it's like just back up the truck and start buying. Within the next couple of days, things are going to start turning. I've seen a +6 here and there. +5s are more usual on the upside. This is a +4 for the last few days. That's pretty hot. Now, markets don't have to collapse.
It's not a +7, though.
What's that?
It's not a +7.
No, not +7. But the interesting thing about this particular indicator is that we do find this as a reversal indicator. So what that means is we're not saying, okay, you know, if a trend is in any one direction and all of a sudden you see it at a +6, the market's going to collapse and that's it. It's all over. You know, things are going to be terrible for the next 2 years. What it's saying is that things are really hot. There's way too much exposure being pushed in. There needs to be a little bit of a settling out period. So, you know, it's a point where you may want to, if you're long and you're deciding that you're going to go with the trend that's up, well, maybe put some protection on your portfolio, at least over the next few days till things cool off and as a consolidation. So that's where we are right now.
That sounds right.
Mm-hmm.
I was stunned how quickly I didn't expect it to really turn around in 2 days.
Right.
After it was all gloom and doom. Look, who told you so?
Yep. But it does. So markets have a way over the last 2-3 years of these incredible Vs and moving down. What the markets moved down? Moved down 6% in a matter of a few days. I think it was down 4% one day, 2% another day. And then it took, a week to bring it all back to a new high. Not even just to get it back to where it was, but to a new high. Because I don't know. And then this is even after some other countries have said, well, maybe we're not going to stick around either. We see the Italian banks starting to collapse, needing to have injections. Italy saying, you know what? I think what we'll do is we'll break from the ECB and we'll put all our own levels on what banks should be. And maybe we will do things to adjust because it's not exactly fair to have one central bank here. Maybe what we'll do is we'll adjust some of the rates and some of the things. And everybody's like, wait a minute, what do you mean, Italy? How can you do that? You're part of this whole ECB thing and you have to play by the rules. And they're thinking about changing the rules. But as we have talked about, have we not talked about that? That's the whole game. The rules can change. Nobody cares.
Yeah, the rules, they change the rules to suit themselves.
Yeah. Which is, by the way, a story we have way down on the list here. Where is this here? It's about, let me see here. Where is this? There is let me find this here. Oh, okay, here it is. U.S. officials refused to prosecute HSBC for money laundering in 2012. This is a story that broke today. Because of concerns within the Department of Justice that would have caused a global financial disaster. So HSBC is money laundering for various cartels and all sorts of bad players out there. This report alleged that the UK hampered the probe and influenced the outcome because they were letting these drug cartels use U.S. banks to launder funds. So they didn't want to prosecute because it would cause global panic.
I don't see how that could be.
Well, this is what the report said.
Why would it cause global panic?
Because it was...
The only person that would be panicked would be some of these bank officials.
I don't know. Maybe because there was so much going on. They had to pay almost $2 billion in fines, but they didn't have any criminal charges, and no top officials at the bank faced any charges at all. But the whole flavor of this is exactly what goes on with our markets and with our financial system, is that, one, when something happens, it's behind the scenes, and they don't let you know for years later to when it's like, okay, that was way back when. What's the big deal? You know, we could have had a situation right now. We could be having a situation where banks are imploding, and maybe the central banks did something like in Italy to bring them back to life, and we won't really know that they were on the edge of disaster for 5 years.
Yeah, that would sound right.
You know what I'm saying?
It's the way to do it.
Yeah, because at that point it's like, it was 5 years ago. So just keep all the information, keep all the bad stuff away from the investor. Just give them the good news, and we can get by all this. Nothing bad will happen. That's kind of a way corporations do it too, don't they?
It's more and more. Yeah. If you get away with it, why not? That's the way you should do it if you have the opportunity.
Yep. Do you want to talk about some of the TRIPS issues? You want to talk about Pokemon? You want to talk about...
Well, the Pokemon thing is... you might want to talk about it for a minute. I'm baffled by it personally. I've never seen anything take off like this. I've been trying to see... I mean, what is like this?
This is an Easter egg hunt, virtually. Right? So
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
So we downloaded the app...
Oh, you did it. You're on board.
I didn't download the app, but somebody in my office did.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, what is I have no idea what this does. All I know is that there's these things. You have to go places, and you pick up things.
My kids are all into this. And they're adults.
First of all, what's interesting is, yes, as you mentioned, it is a phenomena, right? Going crazy. And this is, this is pet rock kind of stuff. This is an augmented reality application. And already we're finding that people are having problems with it. For example, people are being injured because they're doing stupid things, like they're stopping the car in the middle of the road and they're getting hit. There's a story about that. A man has suffered, it seems that, his house or his business, it seems that he became an owner of a gym. It became a gymnasium, where he found all these people coming to his house or to his place, coming in, trying to go inside and all this, or outside his door, trying to get whatever it was inside because this game said there was something in there. Okay?
That's a good one.
On a military base, he's warning service members against the dangers of wandering into unauthorized areas while chasing Pokemon. And I guess people... There's been reports of serious injuries and accidents of people driving or walking while looking at the app and chasing after virtual Pokemon.
Right. And then people are getting robbed and mugged, too. There's a mugging.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Apparently, you can create a beacon of some sort that is a phony one, and then it lures people over to where there's supposedly a Pokemon, and then you get mugged.
So this app is and now there's also, I think, there's a senator... Al Franken, which I don't know how that comedian ever got into Congress or into politics. But okay, he's now worried about how much information is this application collecting on your whereabouts and on your personal information. Because it could track where you're going, right?
Yeah, it's collecting everything it can. Nobody cares about that.
Right.
Well, I think this sort of thing is not, people don't care about it. They maybe used to, and maybe Al Franken does. I know he tries to maintain himself as a kind of net neutrality, kind of savvy guy that knows something about the internet. I get their press releases. And I just don't think the public cares.
Well, what I think is...
So they know I've been chasing a Pokemon. What difference does it make?
Here's the genius that I think could be very cool on this. I don't know if they do this, but I'm assuming it's possible. So let's say that you place this beacon or this Pokemon or this object that you have to capture and grab, okay? And you say, well, you know what? I own a restaurant. I'm going to pay the company to put one in my restaurant. So now you have all these people having to come to the restaurant. Now, they may not buy anything.
Well, maybe if you put in, so he was eating at the restaurant, and you can't capture him unless you get a reservation.
Yeah, I mean, there's just a variety of different ways that this is really...
No, that's, that you've just, what you've done...
Yes.
...is you, by deconstructing the game, you've just created a, you've created one of the income streams.
Yeah.
It's absolutely what should happen.
Yeah, how great is that?
Yeah. Where's the Pokemon? Is it Dick's Sporting Goods?
Right.
Where's the Pokemon? It's Cabela's. Yeah. You got to go to Cabela's and find him in there.
Right, he's in the golf section.
Yeah.
And it happens to be a sale.
Yeah.
In the golf section that day.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah. So I thought that would be, if they haven't done it yet.
No, I don't think so. And I don't play the game. I don't know that much about it. I'm always kind of baffled when people are talking about it. But if they haven't done it, as far as I know, that I've not heard that having been done. So I'm sure they haven't done it yet.
Yeah, that's a great way to collect revenue from this thing.
Yeah, because I think right now they're doing like the Angry Birds style of thing. You know, you can do get something extra. You might need a key or some amulet. I don't know if you have to pay 99 cents.
Yep.
You know, Farmville kind of a way of making money.
Right. Or even, how about this? You have to go to 3 Starbucks in order to unlock this thing. Therefore, what it makes you do is look up where the Starbucks are.
Yeah.
And you want to find the ones.
No, I think you've stopped. If this isn't going on, it might. Somebody's going to call us out if it is. Say, this is what. What are you guys? You guys are out of it. If this hasn't been going on, it definitely will be.
Yeah, it's potentially the next phase of.
If you can put a phony gym and a Pokemon in somebody's house,
yeah.
Even though we're unaware of it,
yeah.
That's great. You can do anything.
Right. So we'll see where this goes and how long this lasts. And the stock of Nintendo was up like, 30% or something.
Yeah, I want to put it on the portfolio.
$7 billion. You're going to buy long?
Yeah.
Wow, beautiful. It's up $7 billion of market cap it gained.
Yeah. It doesn't mean this could be the beginning of something huge. I'm going to play momentum.
Yeah, and who needs electric cars when you have this?
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's got absolutely no real value.
Right. Right. This is perfect
investment for today's market.
Yeah, this is
no value.
Right, exactly. This is like the excitement behind these escape rooms. Have you been following any of this?
God, yes.
So I downloaded one of the apps for escape room for the plane, for the plane ride. And first of all, they can be very
virtual. You get a virtual escape room on the plane.
Yeah, well, it wasn't on the plane, but it was on my iPad. And I played this thing, and it was kind of fun. You know, you got to figure out puzzles, and you got to all these different stupid things, and throughout the room.
This is the logical extension, even though it seems to be kind of gimmicky. I don't like it. I don't like the whole idea, but it seems like the logical extension of these murder mysteries that people used to have at dinner parties.
Oh yeah. Oh.
They were extremely popular.
Yeah, I remember
with
those.
Certain people.
Yeah.
And I had a friend that used to play these things and I kind of ridiculed them and they never talked to me again.
Oh, really?
Very serious about these things.
Yeah.
I guess you buy a kit and then you have a dinner party and then somebody's a murderer and then you have to kind of figure out who and you go spend the rest of the night instead of talking about politics or movies or current events or anything you would do at a dinner table conversation if you had a lot of people over. No. You don't do any of that. You play these games.
Right. That was like also back when Dungeons & Dragons was... I never got that whole thing.
You know, Dungeons & Dragons was really for shut-ins.
Yeah, I didn't get that whole... I didn't understand. I'm like...
Note for saying that, by the way. But it's really for you know, the iRobot character.
Love that show.
Not iRobot, Mr. Robot.
Mr. Robot.
The Mr. Robot guy. Yeah. He would have been, as a young kid, a Dungeons & Dragons cheat.
There was those cheats out there you could get. But I haven't done these escape rooms. Some of them are very elaborate. The thought of being locked in a room, which I assume you could get out if you had to, gets me a little bit nervous. Especially with people that maybe I don't know that I have to help me solve a puzzle to get out.
It just seems like something I'd rather do. I got to clean my office.
Yeah. You got to clean the closet.
I gotta go. Oh, I don't even want to get to the closet.
The closet. We've talked about that closet.
Weeks worth of work.
Yeah, exactly. The closet where you open the door and things just start falling out on you.
Well, it hasn't gotten that bad, but it's close.
Yeah. Let me tell you just quickly about this Myanmar trip for just a moment. Okay, this is Burma. It's China's on one side. You got Bangladesh on another side, and you got Vietnam on the other side. I think Laos, but this was a rough trip. There was some really cool things. I always look for the food a lot. The food was very, very interesting food. There was about, I'll give it 10 ingredients in basically all the food. And the way they made the taste different was by changing up the amount of each ingredient.
That's a lot of Southeast Asian cuisine, except for the Vietnamese stuff, which is very French influenced, much more so than the others, has that element.
Yeah.
I've always felt that I can make a Thai dinner that would be considered very authentic by cooking something Chinese, but adding
coconut milk,
basil, coconut, mint, right, certain things right, you can add.
Right, exactly.
Next thing you know, it's Thai. Hey,
yep, exactly. And a little bit, and if nothing else, just peppers. Top it off with crushed hot peanuts,
peanuts and hot peppers.
Yeah, one of the things that I did was really cool. Was we were in two things. First of all, Bagan. This is a very, very, very dry area. It is, there's about, not that big of an area, 3,000 plus pagodas in this.
Yeah, I saw one of the pictures.
Oh, unbelievable. It's just, you can't even imagine. And we got to some high spots and looked it over, and a lot of them are gold domed. And back in, I don't know, some 1200 or 800, was it 1200 BC? No, it wasn't BC. It was 1200, the year 1200. I think from the years 800 to 1200, something like that. They built these things. These people had no money, and they built these things. They put a few Buddhas in there, and that was like their place of worship for each family. And some were elaborate, some were small. There was a cave I went to that had 8,000 Buddhas in this cave. It was unbelievable. Buddha everywhere. You buy a little shred of gold, and you stick it on the little thing there. The people there, when they smile, they have these black teeth, many of the people, because they chew on the betel nut.
The betel nut, yeah.
So I actually chewed on it myself.
What'd you think?
Well,
it's supposed to wake you up a little bit.
The thing that wakes you up is the tobacco they put in it. So what they do is they put this leaf, they put a little, they call it calcium, a little smear of calcium to numb the bitterness of the leaf, this kind of special leaf. Then they put this betel nut chunks in there, and then they put a little tobacco, then they put like a little coriander and peppermint, and they roll it up in the leaf, and you shove it in your mouth, and you kind of just gnaw on it.
It's like cocaine leaves you might chew on.
So I'm gnawing on this thing, and my mouth's getting like red, you know, all red.
It's supposed to be done. You have to spit a lot make a mess.
Exactly. But there they love it. Every time they smile, like, oh my.
I mean, what does it do for you? It's supposed to be brighten things up. It's supposed to make you more alert.
I did not have that experience. They told me because I didn't put the tobacco in.
Well, then what's just, that's crazy.
I didn't say don't give me the tobacco.
Sounds to me like this,
But they were all over the stuff. But yeah, I asked them about that. They said, well, it has health qualities to it. I'm like, what?
Sure, it does.
Not dental health. Clearly not dental health. You know? So, but this is Bagan. Bagan was just unbelievable. Now, this other place I went was Inlay Lake. This was cool. You would have loved this. This is, they have all the long-tail boats, and a lot of people live on the river, just a vast amount of this river and this lake area. And it has all this foliage in it, and they do all the fishing on there and all this stuff. And this was the rainy season that I was there. And what was really fascinating was miles and miles and miles of these homes on stilts. And more like shacks, bamboo shacks on stilts. And electricity was running through some of these and some not. And I ended up going one day. We took this long ride and weaved in and out and then made a left turn through this brush. And the guy has the long tail boat, so he has to use it to cut through the all the weeds and the stuff that's built up. And there's all these areas that they actually create these little islands on, because the entire thing, they're growing all their vegetables on the lake. In the remnants of the brush from all the weeds and stuff that grows in the lake, it creates these like islands. And they grow it right in there. They grow these tomatoes that are outstanding, like all these vegetables. And they go out and they harvest them throughout the day.
Huh.
So we went and we arrive at this guy's house, and then off to the left of the house is like this a bigger hut, just an open hut on stilts, and it had a little bathroom area, whatever, in the back, and that was the cooking class that I went to. And then outside extension was an area with these nice umbrellas that you would go to and then have your meal. So about four of us plus the chef and his sister, actually, we cooked, I don't know, 10 different dishes inside this little hut.
And this was in what cuisine?
In Burmese.
Okay.
And some hot, something. Anyway, I put some pictures up on the DH Unplugged site. I go over to the show notes of this episode, and you'll see just three pictures. We'll show you first is what I drove up to, and you can see that was the hut with the girl standing there. That was the whole cooking class on stilts. Then there's all the different things that we cooked, the 10 dishes that we cooked or so, and then us sitting there in front of Mr. Min's cooking class. Just a fantastic experience of cooking and all that, and then sitting outside eating it right on the stilted dining area. You would have loved it.
I'm sure I would have.
Yeah, it was great. And the beer is good there, too.
Yeah, they have good beer throughout.
And you know what I like there? They have Sunkist in lychee flavor.
Oh, that should be tasty.
That was delicious.
I bet it was.
Yeah, it was really good. Some of the strange things we ate, we had fried chicken where they give you an entire chicken. They just throw a chicken into the fryer. And the delicacy to eat there is the brain right out of the skull.
It's delicious. Brain's delicious, except the problem is nowadays is the getting mad cow disease from it.
Mad cow from a chicken?
From anything, brain.
Oh.
It's brains that just, oh, is chicken brains from the skull?
Chicken, right from the skull.
Eh, probably safe.
Mm. And then
that much brain and then
we,
there.
Yeah, then we ended up in a couple of places around. Then the last thing I'll tell you is we flew to a small island off of the coast of Thailand called Koh Samui. And I did some scuba diving there. That was fantastic. Soft. I've never really had the experience of diving with a soft coral. That was just spectacular. Cool trip. Too long.
You're too long.
Oh, let me tell you one thing. This is unbelievable. So in Myanmar, there's really no credit cards used. It's pretty much a cash society. But they'll take U.S. dollars, but pretty much 20s and 50s, maybe hundreds. But when you turn them in there, they look at them and they study the bill. If it has any flaws, if it has a rip, if it has a weird, the corner is wrinkled, if it has any writing on it, if it's earlier than a certain year, they will not take the bill. It's unbelievable. Right. I went to a place, I had a peel through 50s that I brought with me. They're like, nope, not taking that one. Nope, not taking that one. I mean, I had to peel through them to find a few of them that they would turn into cash for me in their currency.
Huh.
They're just crazy about it. It's pretty amazing. Anyway, back to the markets, back to Pokemon markets. Elon Musk, I don't know if you've seen what he did. He tweeted this week that he has the master plan 2 for Tesla. Master plan 2, part 2. I guess this has to do with something with Solar City.
He's got a new car. Oh, yeah, that's what it is.
The whole Solar City battery thing and all this, which everybody seems to know already anyway. But that was kind of interesting. Meanwhile, he's under investigation for this not reporting some of the accident or the autopilot accident that went on there.
Mm-hmm.
So the stock was down a dollar and then jumped right back up. So stock was down after they bought Solar City, and of course it just popped right back up. And he has no plans to disable his autopilot function in the wake of this crash, by the way. So it's not
see any reason why he should.
Yeah.
Get some guy driving 100 miles an hour watching a movie, and he runs in the side of a truck. It's really not the car's fault so much.
Right. Exactly. But it's in the early stages of it, too. So, I mean, there's going to be some accidents. We talked about how there's going to be the potential for accidents, considering the fact that there is, other people not on autopilot on the roads. So, you have human error on the other side.
Well, at some point, everything will be autopilot. We won't have to worry about that.
Yeah, I guess. And then that brings us to the whole story of robots. And I think you talked about this, I think you mentioned this. Germany has a tremendous amount of robots that are workers doing a variety of different things. And we know that we have them here too, right? There's simple robots that are just maybe pickers on the Amazon warehouse, to more complex robots that are maybe building devices and cars and, you know, putting them together. And so far, we don't have any of the robots like on, you know, Sleeper. What a great movie. Remember him, Woody Allen?
Yeah.
We don't have any robots like that or Terminators and all. But the big question is, if all these robots are taking over for human jobs, right? And the comment is, well, they're so much more cost effective. They don't need to eat. They don't need to drink. They don't take vacations. They don't have health insurance benefits. None of that stuff, right? What a great thing for companies. What a great thing for, you know, the economy, except for the fact that you may have a problem due to the fact that there's less workers and not as many people getting paid. It could be also problematic for governments because they're not getting payroll taxes.
So that's what's happening in California with the gas taxes.
Yep.
They made everyone go to electric cars and gas efficiencies. And now they don't get enough gas tax money because nobody's buying gasoline for the highway maintenance. So they've got to come up with some new scheme to have some other way to gouge the public. Mm-hmm. All we did was what they said.
Right. You told us to do it. We did nothing wrong. Well, now the owners of electronic persons, they're classifying these as electronic persons, are going to be possibly liable to pay Social Security taxes. There's a new plan that's being drafted.
Why, they're not going to collect insurance.
No, but they're gonna.
Oh, they have to pay it into
the system. Yeah.
Oh.
How do you like that?
Well, that's a jip.
Electronic persons and their owners are liable for paying Social Security taxes for them in the European Union if they adopt this draft plan to address the. This is what the commentary was: to address the realities of a new industrial revolution.
Huh. It's interesting.
I mean, it makes sense that if you're going to lose these workers and you base all of your insurance or your pension plan and your retirement plan that is government sponsored on all these workers, and now all of a sudden you have these efficiencies. So just look at a car manufacturer. So now you just, you know, have all these car manufacturers that are just laying off people left and right that work on the lines. Because you have robotics, and now you have no money to pay for their fair share. So,
Well, this is going to be a disaster, the way I see it. I mean, people have to have some way of making income, and unless they develop a reverse income tax or something, so everyone just gets money, or you have an investment in a robot, and whatever it makes, you get to keep. It's just, you can't have the system go this way, seems to me. Well, there's going to be no buyers for anything because nobody's going to have any money to buy anything.
Right. When you're gonna reach a point of saturation where it turns the other side, where you're no longer able to keep the efficiencies and at the same time make so much money. Because what that will do is naturally just bring the money up to the companies, the top level. But then again, then you have to say, well, then who's going to buy the products that they're making? So same thing what's happening with Seagate. Seagate is cutting 6,500 jobs, 6,500, like 14% of their workforce.
And they just laid off some people recently before this.
There was 1,500, I believe it was, that were laid off previously.
Yeah.
Now they're laying off 6,500. And by the way, boosting its revenue guidance for the quarter ending July 1st, saying demand for its drives are very strong. So I'm just wondering, why are they laying off 6,500 people, which is a very large number?
Robots.
Is that what it is?
I mean, sure.
It does seem like this is a good company example of what robots could do.
It's a company that's ripe for robots.
Yeah. It's like the pretzel companies. Remember the old pretzel companies where they used to take the pretzel and they'd have people on the line?
Yeah, they make the little step, little move. Yeah, boom,
that little Auntie Annie's move, you know, and people on the line, but the problem was it's only so fast they can do it, and then they get tired, then they have to take a break, and you have to replace them, and they don't work 24/7.
Right.
And now you have one guy sitting in front of a screen just watching the efficiency of the robots creating pretzels that are 100 times faster.
That's a pretty basic analysis, but yeah. Yes, of course.
Yeah.
And that guy watching the pretzel making machines?
Yep.
They could replace him too.
Yeah, exactly. You just have a alert system, a SMS system.
Call some guy at home.
Exactly.
Hey, machine 14 is down.
Yeah, get the robot, get the replacement robot.
Get a robot to fix it.
Yep. Now, in a recent development, Intel is jotting down the options for Intel security. Remember they bought the antivirus company McAfee?
Oh, I thought it was right. It was McAfee. I thought it was Norton. You're right.
It was about 6 years later. Now they're going to be, they bought it for about $7.7 billion. Now they want to sell it. Now, if this is such an incredible industry, and if in fact, you know, cybersecurity is such a hot button, we saw that Wendy's was hacked last week or so. Government's been hacked. Everybody's been hacked. Target, that big hack on Target. And by the way, how come the credit card companies still don't seem to have any kind of a problem with any of this? You know, they guarantee that, you know, your credit card is safe, and if somebody charges on it, they'll reimburse it and you don't have to pay it. All this hacking goes on, but does anything happen with the hack? Is it just a hack for fun?
The hack usually is to steal credit card numbers and sell them.
Well, if that's the case, then there's a lot of fraud going on with credit cards, right?
Yeah.
Why haven't the credit card company seen a major hit because of this?
I think it's all built into that outrageous interest rates they charge.
So
I think this is all fact. I think this is all part of a formula. I don't think it's even, they don't bat an eye.
Hmm. Well, now they're going to sell this. And it looks like it's, I think they're going to be, yeah, it'll be a big deal. So I don't know who's going to buy this. I guess Microsoft is probably maybe in line to buy this. That'd be probably good.
Maybe. It's possible. Well, yeah.
I don't know.
Or maybe nobody's going to buy it. I mean, I thought it was a bad idea when they started it up.
Yeah. I don't know if they're going to, if it's going to be a profitable sale or not, but we'll have to see what happens there. Let's see what else. Starbucks. Guess what they're doing?
Making coffee.
Yep. Bad coffee, in my opinion. But they're boosting their prices.
Oh, great.
How could you boost prices on Starbucks coffee?
I don't know. It's already too expensive.
You got to take a mortgage out to buy a year's supply of that stuff. Certain sizes of their brewed coffee will increase 10 to 20 cents per cup.
Hmm.
You know, there's some places you could buy a cup of coffee for 20 cents.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that, but a dollar at least.
A dollar. Yeah. I mean, you could buy... Well, in some place, well, I remember in still to the, you know, you go to a place and you have dinner. And then after you say, I'll take an espresso. It's like $5, right? $5 for a little espresso.
Yeah.
In Italy, it's like 50 cents, or it was 50 cents.
Yeah, Italy is free, pretty much.
Yeah, it's like water. But it's amazing that Starbucks, they're going to be increasing, you know, and this comes on the heels of an increase across the board for all their employees' salaries and wages. There's an across the board wage increase they just put into place, and now they're going to increase the price of the coffee. Do we see any correlation here?
Wages go up, and so the price of the product goes up?
Well, the price of the product goes up because wages went up.
Yeah, well, that's not unusual.
No, but everybody's saying, oh, you know, you're not going to see any major increase in prices if we have a mandatory
minimum. They say that, they're just lying.
Yeah. No changes in the prices if we have to increase the minimum wage. Nope. So let's see what else we got on here. What else? Lots of things happening around the world. I don't know if we want to talk about this whole rash of violence that's happening all over the world that we don't seem to be very concerned about, by the way?
No. I don't think we need to get into it. We're not that concerned about it.
Yeah, nobody's concerned about it. It's violence. It happens. Still don't get this thing. I you got to help me understand something. I thought I understood it, and I thought it was actually something good from what I saw the initial things that were being set up. But now Twitter is setting up to live stream some of Bloomberg's television programs, which is the latest in their series of content deals struck by this micro blogging service. Let me state this. Twitter's a micro blogging service. Would we agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay. And now they're going to have television programs. It seems that microblogging and elongated television programs, how does that fit? And NFL, and I must be missing something.
Now I have no idea. I mean, it seems to me they just want it's like a messaging system now, and you watch TV while you're tweeting. I'm not going to do it. I got a television set. I got a computer. I got all kinds of ways of looking at stuff. And maybe if you didn't want to take out a subscription to NFL football and they had a game on Twitter, you'd watch it on your phone.
I mean, if there's an NFL game that I can't see somehow, and Twitter would be the only way to see it because they bought the rights to it. Now, doesn't that make them a content provider? Like any other? Now they're competing
with who? Like NBC?
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying original content. I'm not saying it, but they're rebroadcast content. They're like a cable company.
Yeah, a little bit.
Or like Dish or whatever it is.
Yeah, I would say you could make that argument.
And for whatever reason, I need to go to Twitter, which could be on a laptop or a PC or my computer or my phone or tablet, whatever. I'm going to go there to watch this. The whole thing doesn't fit. I don't get how that. The whole thing doesn't. It just doesn't work for me. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm sure I'm not going to be watching much streaming video on Twitter.
Right. Somebody was mentioning, by the way, with some of these things that are happening, like streaming video on Twitter, or even this Pokemon thing, that what would be a good investment? Somebody tweeted this to me. I saw earlier. Supplemental battery packs.
Yeah.
For your phones.
What would be a good investment besides something stupid like that?
A helmet for Pokemon. A helmet and shin guards.
I mean, Nintendo is the play. You either play it up or down. I mean, one way or the other, because it's already extended.
I can't figure any of these out.
I'm always looking for chips. I think the investment opportunity, and I haven't been able to find it, is and it stems from the following logic. Roku has brought out a 4K Roku box.
Yeah.
And if I have 4K, it's gorgeous. I like using it. And I wanted to get a Roku 4K. And they Roku guys always usually send me stuff, but they wouldn't send me this thing. I'm looking at the reviews. Apparently it's, you know, not up to par. It's got a loud fan and because the chip overheats and it's got issues. So from the reviews I've read. So nobody's buying it. It's not like a hot topic. So the investment play from the logic of that is somebody who makes a 4K decoder for 4K television that doesn't heat up like this. You need another circuit, something I'm sure – the guys at Roku, that was a state-of-the-art box. It's probably the best they could do. And I know a guy was doing a 4K box, too, and I don't know if he's got a fan in it or not. But it seems to me that there's a chip possibility here. And some chip companies, there's plenty of chip companies looking to make stuff like that.
No, doesn't the content have to be in 4K to begin with and not everything's in 4K?
It upscales.
Upscaling's no good.
Oh, yes, it is.
It's not as good as getting an original 4K.
Of course not. But it's better than 1080p.
Right. Well, Amazon has 4K. Netflix has 4K.
They have 4K content?
Yes.
Well, I don't have a 4K box to run it through.
You don't need a box. Well, yes, I take it back. You need a box to upscale it to your downscale it to your 1080p TV, I guess. But if you have a 4K TV like I have... I have the Sony 65-inch 4K. It's beautiful.
Yeah, well, how do you run Netflix to it?
Through the internet. What do you mean?
Does your TV have a Netflix?
Yes. It's a smart TV.
Okay, so the TV's got Netflix built in.
Right.
So I have to use a box to get my Netflix on my TV.
Oh. It has Netflix. It has Amazon Prime.
Okay. It has Netflix. Is the Netflix in your TV decode to 4K?
Yes.
Are you sure?
I think so. I have a Netflix.
You're not so sure, are you?
I'm not sure, but I have the Netflix 4K. I have the Netflix 4K. It's a 4K TV.
But that doesn't mean that it's getting 4K from your Netflix host.
My Netflix account, I had to spend.
When your 4K TV is picking up your local stations too, if you have an over the air.
Well, hold on a second. It's only certain programs are 4K in Netflix.
Yeah.
So like House of Cards, for example.
You know that they're going into the TV at 4K. I'm not so sure that they necessarily are unless you have the right hardware that sends it in there properly.
I don't know this, but you could do the research on the Sony 4K if you want, or anybody out there on the Sony 4K TVs, find out if Netflix and Amazon Prime, when you click their 4K content, if it is actually 4K.
Yeah, it would be good to know that.
Because what's the point of having 4K if you're not getting that? That would be for anything then. But if it's a 4K TV, doesn't that mean if the signal's coming in at 4K?
If it's coming in at 4K, but do you know it's coming in at 4K?
I paid for it.
I paid for it too, but I have to have like special. I have to have a 4K delivery device to make it 4K. I mean, it's just not everything turns to 4K magically. Most of it just gets up converted, and you're stuck with what you got, which can be, you know, pretty dynamite. But it's not 4K, pure 4K, because there's no delivery device. That's why I was waiting for the Roku box, which brought this conversation to a beginning.
Hmm. All right, somebody tell me, please, if the 65-inch, the new...
But it should be in your little book. You kept the guidebook, the user manual.
I don't think it came with a user manual.
Oh. Well, you should look into it.
I need somebody to look into it for me. This is
because it's got to hit... If it's coming over the Netflix pipe at 4K, you're paying for the 4K. Well, you're not paying anything, actually.
No, yeah.
But it comes into the Netflix thing, and then it has to be delivered to the 4K through a 4K pipe. You don't. I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't giving you a 4K pipe and a 1080p, saying, "Well, we're getting to this next version."
So it may be coming in at a higher resolution. Just what I'm saying is, you know, a 4K, but yet the TV is accepting it and just displaying it as best as possible.
Yeah, that would be right. Yeah,
and it may look better because it's more
Your TV's better,
and because there's more resolution if I put it next to each other, but it may not be the full 4K.
Right. 4K is pretty stunning when you get it.
Yeah, I mean, the things that I've seen are like the underwater stuff, a few TVs here and there. There's The Fifth Element. If you ever watched that movie, The Fifth Element.
That's a great demo movie.
I love that movie.
Yeah, so very funny.
That's supposed to be on 4K. I got to look that up. But anyway, 65-inch 4K Sony. Take a look and see if that's...
You got to get the model number to make sure you get there, yeah.
All right, let's take a look at a couple of things. First of all, the close to the pin. We do not have a winner yet because we are still pending on Nike. Nike is the current closest to the pin competition for DH Unplugged. We have an announcement coming Friday, which we need to find a stock, by the way. What's really interesting about this is that Nike, we have a couple of people that are right on. Actually, if you recall, the person that had the fat finger twice. Remember that whole thing?
Yeah, I remember.
They're the number one person now.
That's funny.
Closest. We are way away. I mean, really far away. Nike spiked up from the bottom after that terrible report they had. People just started buying it anyway, and markets kind of came back up very nicely. I think you're 14% away. I'm 8% away. And the stock really started moving up when it...
That's not over yet.
Not over. Do we have till Friday? Do you have anything in mind we can add for next week?
A stock?
We need a stock. We need a stock. You want to, what? You want to just pick a random letter and then we could try to think about a stock from there, A to Z?
Well, how about have we done a drug company yet?
We did Biogen, I think.
How about an old-fashioned, like Pfizer? Let's do Pfizer.
Pfizer, P-F-E. Pfizer. Okay, well, we'll put Pfizer on there. What you have to do is guess the closest price. You can win a wonderful DH Unplugged, very very sought-after T-shirt if you are the winner of this. So check out the DH Unplugged.
Sought-after.
What's that?
It's indeed.
Oh, yeah.
Sought-after.
Yeah, sought-after. As a matter of fact, I got a call from Nintendo. They wanted me to put a Pokemon in the supply. Yep. So we're going to put Pfizer on there. You can
money in that.
Yeah, open up the doors to guessing starting next Friday, and we'll update that. Now, just to quickly update you on the old Codgers portfolio, with the market kind of screaming ahead, reaching all time high. We were neck and neck. As a matter of fact, old Codgers were beating the global ex millennials until all of a sudden things went haywire, and now it's 3% ahead. I think since inception, the old Codgers
are ahead.
Nope, the millennials are now ahead.
Well, that can change.
They'll perform a lot better in.
I think on the downside, the Codgers.
Oh yeah, yeah. We were doing well. You can find out all this and much more on dhunplugged.com, the place to find all your fun things, as well as all the stocks we pick, pictures and things, and all the notes from each of our discussions here. Facebook. Lawyers are filing a $1 billion lawsuit against Facebook, alleging it allowed the Palestinian militant group Hamas to use the platform to plot attacks that killed 4 Americans and wounded 1 in Israel on the West Bank and Jerusalem. They're saying that Facebook was knowingly provided material support and resources to Hamas in the form of Facebook's online social network platform and communication services, making it liable for the violence against the 5 Americans, according to the lawsuit that was discussed on Bloomberg. And the Israeli lawyer Nitzana Darshan Leitner. Now, I always wondered if, first of all, any of this can be policed, like any of the messaging platforms, any of them. And for that matter, you get email too. First of all, let's just state, if you're planning an attack on a free email service or free messaging device and you're putting, probably not the most secretive place that you can plan, you know, utilize as a hub. Right?
That I would guess yes to that. Yeah.
You know, you don't have like, we're going to blow up the Eiffel Tower fan page. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You may. I don't know.
Maybe they, I don't know why they just put a blog up and use that. Why not use Facebook?
Yeah, just put a blog, an open blog up. Anybody that wants to join the militant group that's going to, attack, a simultaneous attack on in a McDonald's store on 12 four continents and 10 countries, join in. We'll stream it out, and then we'll of course Twitter all of our updates. I mean, I don't understand why. Do you think this has any legs that they're going to be able to sue them?
I think you said stew them.
Well, they could stew them. They could sue them. Whatever they want.
I don't. You know, these types of lawsuits are always thrown out. I just don't see it happening. And you don't know that the CIA is not, you know, wanting to keep this thing the way it is so they can follow it. I mean, I just don't see it's a practicality. I don't think it's going to happen. It's not going to work.
Is this why do you think the government was looking for all that open information from Google and Microsoft? Remember the whole thing that went on that they were, you know, and Google protested the most?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I would think...
So this is all fishy.
You have your own servers. You have your own encryption. You keep this stuff quiet. You don't just do it unless you're... I don't know. Maybe not. It seems a little bit weird that you would use Facebook as a place to join in, you know?
Well, you could be stupid. There are people that put up all their crimes. They go out and rape some poor girl, and then they post it.
Right.
What kind of idiots are these?
Right. And then you have... and if you're a member of and friends with these people, do you get like an alert like... it's Larry the Bomber's birthday. You know what I'm saying?
Probably.
1 year ago. Do you know how they do the 1 year ago, 2 years ago kind of thing? 2 years ago. 2 years ago, failed attempt. Just reminiscing. Anyway, a new survey out. And I thought this is kind of, I don't know what you think about this, but kind of bogus. GoBankingRates.com surveyed over and said that over 62% of Americans do not have even $1,000 in their savings accounts. Does that sound right?
I believe it.
Really?
Yeah.
62%.
Yeah, I can believe it. I think everyone's like, I think a lot of people somehow got screwed like that.
So not if they're just living, people just living paycheck to paycheck. I'm not saying you don't have to have a lot, not a lot of money, but $1,000.
I think you're complete. I think you personally
are
completely oblivious to the plight of the poor people in this country.
I don't.
Sorry. I just think it's true.
Okay, so why? Because I have a house in the Hamptons and one in, you know, L.A. And
you have a house in the Hamptons?
No, not at all. Well, just saying. I mean,
you could.
I could. I could. But I've been to the Hamptons.
Very posh.
Yeah, I mean, I used to go to Montauk every summer. By the way, and I heard Montauk has just been overrun by hipsters and the young elite.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Very sad. It's they start on the weekends drinking binges. They pile off the plane, off the train. We used to have to go to Montauk by a locomotive. Now they have a train that goes straight through. And they start drinking because it's a drinking car on there now, I guess. And they start drinking. And by the time it gets to Montauk, they open the door and people just fall out. Yeah, I heard it's really bad. I heard it's really, really
from friends. It wouldn't surprise me.
So I am oblivious to the fact and that over 62% of Americans do not have even $1,000 in their savings.
I don't mean
account.
To insult you when I say
no,
that.
No,
I just think
it's okay. I thought the number was a little bit high, and I thought 62% was high, and I thought the 1,000 was low. Or, you know, I thought that was maybe.
Yeah, I think this. I think you're looking at the reality of today's world, especially America.
That's terrible. I'm not saying people should have a lot. I'm not saying, oh, all these people should have millions of dollars or anything like that. But it seems $1,000 is that's not even enough money to pay for, like, if you don't obviously own a home, maybe you rent, but it's not even.
You could actually own a home and be in that same state.
But even if you rent, you don't have enough to put first, last, and security down.
Maybe that's what you've done. That's why you only have 1,000 left. You put first, last, and security down. That's all tied up in the little apartment.
Yeah, it's very sad. Speaking about the plight of people around the world, Venezuela. We've talked about this before, but it seems to be getting worse and worse by the day.
It's horrible.
Terrible.
We cover it on No Agenda, and it's like every time, and we're not very thoroughly, but we do it. Nobody else seems to want to cover it.
It's unbelievable.
It's horrible what's going on there.
Citibank is planning to shutting down its Venezuelan government's foreign currency accounts.
Great.
Yep. Kimberly Clark's plant in Venezuela has been shut down. Now the government's taking it over and reactivating it to
they
produce.
Nationalized it.
Yeah, they need. How could they nationalize Kimberly Clark's plant? I don't know what they're going to produce.
They can do whatever
there.
You want. If you're a sovereign state, you can nationalize them when they were still there.
But the really interesting thing about Venezuela is, I mean, it's the staples that they don't have. I mean, it's just there's no toilet paper. There's no baseline food, milk. There's no food.
It's terrible. Milk. There's no bread.
I just don't understand how they...
It's completely out of control.
I mean, is it something that's solvable, do you think? Or, I mean, what's going to have to break?
Totally
is it the government?
The government's going to have to go. Military's going to have to go military. The government has to go. The military has to come in and take over, turn into a military police state for a while. And then they have to bring stuff in, making deals left and right to get all the food and stuff back in the shelves. Mm. It's going to be rough.
Yeah. All right, we're going to get to the stocks in a couple of seconds here. I just want to mention that Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto is saying, absolutely not. We're not paying for the wall. Not going to do it. Not going to pay for the wall. We'll see. NBA star Lamar Odom had to be taken off a Delta jet this week, leaving from Los Angeles after he got drunk in the airport lounge and vomited on the plane.
Oh, my God. This guy needs to be locked up or something in an insane asylum.
And right up your alley, the last note here with your forgotten cars. Do you have a lot more of those forgotten cars? Because there seems to be a lot of these.
Yeah, there's tons.
Tons.
So when you start looking into it, and then you find a cache. There'll be some guys, usually a guy on Pinterest. And then you hit his page for some reason, and because you're looking at a certain kind of a screwball car. And the page will be filled with hundreds of these things that use. Where do these cars come from?
Well, Jeep is going to be resuming production on the classic Wagoneer and Grand Wagoneer. Remember that with the...
Oh, that's a classic.
How great is that?
The Grand Wagoneer, the old crazy Wagoneer, big boxy thing. I see them once in a while.
With the wooden sides?
Yeah.
Yep. Going to be bringing that model back after 2019.
Yeah, I don't know why.
As the brand's luxury pinnacle.
Oh, please.
The luxury pinnacle. I mean... We've gone from Jeep, that was like a really cool and rugged kind of car, to now this, you know, these SUVs and these other things that they have that are
Cherokees.
Yeah, they're very, very expensive.
Yeah, very expensive, kind of luxurious.
Kind of Range Rover, the new Range Rover. Well, even Range Rover, they used to be boxy square things. Now they're all sleek and cool looking. But obviously they're going to, you know, the Wagoneer, which was the workhorse, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to bring it back and make it some kind of luxury jobby of some sort.
Fail.
Yeah. What is John C. Dvorak writing about this week in PC Mag? And did you get a lot of blowback from your last article on, what were you writing about, Microsoft?
No. This week I'm writing about today's Prime Day. I'm writing about Amazon's Prime Day and what a fiasco it was.
There was all sorts of shipping issues or checkout issues and...
There was... Well, I didn't even talk about that. I just thought the whole thing was a joke.
Why?
Well, there were I was comparing prices of the regular Amazon goods against the ones that are supposedly on sale. I didn't see any real deals there. They had a $50 card that you get extra $10 if you buy one. And you look at the front fine print, the whole page of fine print. And it's the thing expires, the $10 expires after like 2 weeks. It's just one thing after another. I was very disappointed by the whole thing. I didn't find anything. I bought nothing.
Hmm. By the way, the greatest scam on our people in this world is gift cards.
Oh, yeah. Gift cards are the worst.
Greatest scam in the world. And by the way, if you buy a Visa gift card, a $50 Visa gift card, you got to pay like a $4 activation fee.
It's crazy.
That's just stupid.
That's a ripoff.
Yeah.
Somebody did give me an Amazon $100 gift card for Christmas, and I immediately put it into the account. And Amazon just sucks it right into the account. And then you just, every time you buy something, it says, oh, it's your gift card paying for it. That's pretty convenient.
Well, let me tell you a little trick, if I may. So there are some credit cards that give you multiple airline miles for buying things at certain places, right? You know, so you could buy maybe certain food items at a grocery store. Maybe they'll give you 2 times the points, right? Maybe you buy gasoline at a Shell station or whatever.
Yeah,
it is.
This is actually, you're stealing material from your wife. This was her idea, if I'm not mistaken.
Did I tell you about this story before?
All right. Don't tell it again. It's a good story.
So one of the things you could do is buy an Amazon gift card at Office Depot and use a Chase, I believe it's a Chase Inc. card, or maybe there's a couple different Chase cards you can use, and you get 5 times the points. So I go in, I buy an Amazon card for $1,000 at Office Depot. So now I got an Amazon card, bought it at Office Depot on, so I get 5,000 points.
Nice. And then you just go put the card right in your account. You're done.
I'm done. So my Amazon right there.
You're going to spend that much anyway. Usually, most people, you're a big Amazon buyer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go. All right, let's get to the stocks. This is not an offer to buy or sell any security. This is not a recommendation, of course, to buy anything that we talk about here. It's just a game that we play each and every week to come up with some ideas that may be very interesting to buy. We've had we had a pretty good run for a long time, and then we kind of crapped out with the markets. We have... this listed on a live feed with actively what's up, what's down, et cetera. Of course, this is just a game. And just a note that if John C. Dvorak, myself, or Horowitz Company clients own any of the stocks, we'll note that as well. And you can see kind of what's open and all that. People actually, a lot of people go to this, by the way. And you know, they utilize this. And I know this because if it's ever down, I get a load of emails or tweets about this.
Telling you, grousing.
Yeah. Hey, what's going on? I guess people are really, utilizing this for their portfolio or something. I don't know what to do with it, but I have one pick today. It's another one of my kind of loony toony ones because I think stocks are a little bit hot right now. But before we get to that, let me mention that of course you can follow John C. Dvorak on Twitter at The Real Dvorak. And myself, Andrew Horowitz. Why don't you read through the list of stocks that are currently active? Then I'll get to my pick here.
Oh, well, that's funny you asked for that because I was just roaming around. But let me take it. Sorry. Okay. All right. What we got? We have Express Inc. That's up almost 10%. That's up there. We have this doesn't look too bad.
Well, because I pulled off all the crap.
Advance Auto Parts, and then you have Mattress Firm Holding Corp. is out.
Yep.
Royal Bank of Scotland is up. These are all up. Royal Bank of Scotland, I think, is kind of dead, down no, by a lot.
Yep, it's down.
Barclays doesn't look too good.
What do you mean? What do you
want? Oh, no, I'm sorry. I've got what the wrong thing. What are you talking about? I'm sorry. I have to use my...
Put your spectacles on. Peck spectacles on there.
And I don't have my reading glasses. That's the problem. Barclays is way up, and that's the one that we both picked.
Yep, that's a purple.
Yeah, that was a good choice. Applied whatever it is, optoelectric, electronics, seems to be up, but it's being kicked out. I don't know why.
Well, because you went up and then it came back down. So
okay, well, it went up. It left me with a good profit.
Yep, that was your second time on that one.
Yeah, I try to keep picking it over and over.
Yep. And there's we only have three things now.
Okay, well, you're going to do pro shares?
Well, here's the thing. First of all, let me just state, the particular investment that I'm going to mention is a horrible investment from the aspect of, what's that?
It's a good start.
Yeah, it's a horrible investment from the aspect that it is a very poorly constructed and a very bad operating position long term. It's one of these triple or double, you can go double, triple, one of these levered, commodity-based ETFs that if you hold it for a long time, it degrades terribly. And this one really degrades terribly. But for short term...
Have you done well doing this trick ever on this show?
Yeah, yes. Well, for the most part, I remember we had the gold. I made tons
of... The gold you did. Okay.
By the way,
that was
that gold different. That gold nugget is up 500% this year.
Wow.
Yeah. 500%. It's okay. There are certain investments that will work okay on a levered type. There's some of them that will have some degrading. Some will have a lot. Because of the structure of the roles, like commodity-based or option-based investments, those, if you hold it for more than a number of days, unless directionally it's moving with you correctly, in other words, if you're chopping around, you're not going to do well. If it moves against you, you're not doing well. If it moves with you, in other words, if you're moving in the right direction for an extended period, you could do very well. This one is because the VIX now is currently at 13.5. We're seeing an overvalued level,
right,
on the KRI. I'm seeing that you're stocks seem extended.
A low VIX.
So the VIX is very low. I'm saying, you know what? How can I do the VIX for this, for an easy non-option related trade? And for a couple of days, if we see a nice spike here, you can get a 15-20% move in this.
This is the kind of this you're giving out a kind of a tip that you'd hear on Options Friday.
Oh,
on CNBC.
Ah,
which is where Fast Money evolves into Options Friday on Friday. It's very, very interesting show to listen to.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm thinking that it is, markets can still move higher, you know, even though right now the S&P PE ratio on a forward basis is 19.5.
This is actually a bearish investment.
Yes. So okay. We're going to go long the VIX we're going to be buying volatility.
Okay. That's interesting. I like it.
All right. What do you got?
I got SEV.
SEV.
Yeah, look that one up.
I gotta actually look up your Nintendo. I gotta see if we can actually put this on this list.
This is an insider guy's been buying and buying and buying and buying and buying and buying and buying. And then when you look it up, there's a lot of good news coming out. There's a lot of people think this is a hot, a hot property. It's gonna be
zero emissions, electric and hybrid vehicles, motors.
Yeah, it's a motor maker.
Zero emission, electric and hybrid. Okay. Two segments, electronic controls, capacitors, off-road vehicles.
This is a bet. This is like what I'm going to talk about probably in the next couple of shows, which is the marijuana business, which I think is also the investment opportunity that we're all going to have, one of the greatest ones we're going to have for a long time.
They say it's going to go higher.
Hey, man.
Dude.
It's way up there.
Yeah, man. It also manufactures off-road vehicles, including cars, trucks, buses, motors, forklifts, aerial lifts, mining vehicles.
It's a big company.
Yeah. Let's see what they have here. Their net profit margin stinks. Return on equity stinks. Only
what's the price on this stock you're looking at?
$9.43.
Right. And it's just been around the chart's kind of weird looking. But it looks like it's in a rebound state of some sort.
I agree with that. Okay, what else you got? Oh, we're looking up...
Nintendo's the only other one I got.
Nintendo. NTDOY. That is the... Let's see a trade here. I hope it trades. It's a... let's look at this here. From July... Yeah, that's the right one. From July 8th. What is this? 5 days? Is that a 5 days range? Let me look at this. Yep, 5 day range of 55%.
Yeah. Yes, get in on this baby before it's too late.
Year to date is up 59%. So it was at 18s at 27. NTDOY. Let's see.
I'm taking this one to the limit. This one's going up.
NTDOY.
It's going to double and double and double. That's what I'm thinking.
And this is all.
Maybe that is going to collapse.
This is all because of Pokemon.
Yeah, one stupid game. This is a worthless pick. I would not advise anyone to follow this lead. Although,
let me see here.
If you're one of those speculators,
what is it? Sevcon is there. Let's put this one in here. Control B. Yeah, it's tracking it. So we got this. Okay. All right. So we have insiders on one of them. Is for Sevcon, and the other one is what's your thesis on Nintendo again?
Mass hysteria.
Mass hysteria. it's unbelievable that Nintendo. And by the way, I don't think Nintendo actually makes the game. I think there's another company that makes the actual.
Yeah, no, I think you're right because they have some other product that they apparently it was a branding thing they're doing here.
So the company goes up by $7 billion. All right. So is it 10% stop on each of these?
Yeah. Yeah. Same old, same old. Okay. Nothing doing anything new. Although the Nintendo, I suspect, will be flying around.
Yeah. JCD pick. Okay. All right. Sounds good.
All right. We'll see. We'll see how those do. And then we got the closest to the pin with a new stock.
Yep. All right. We'll talk next week.
Okay, thanks.
All right, bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.